want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We love PKS.
Thanks a lot.
And a very good afternoon to all of you listening. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, the general manager of WPKN. And once a month, I get a chance to do my GM report to the listeners. And in this era of COVID-19, things have changed a little bit in terms of not only the guests that we are able to have on, but also the technology of having some of the guests on to the station. It looks like we are going to be doing some Zoom meetings today. And so you may have to bear with us, but I think that it looks like we're going to be able to accomplish the task of bringing in certain members today via Zoom technology. And let me tell you who those people are going to be. We are going to be talking with Martha Ouellette Lewis, who is an artist and also a WPKN programmer. She hosts Flux Capacitor and Live Culture Talk. She's going to talk about her daily COVID-19 installation called Quarantine Cinegrams. We also are going to have Suzanne Kachmar, who is the director of City Lights Gallery. She's also one of the founders of the Bridgeport Pride and the Bridgeport Art Trail. And she'll be joined by artist Iyaba Ibo Mandingo. Then we are going to move towards an event that is a premier event in New Haven called the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. It's going to be reimagined. It already has been over the last few months or so, reimagined as more of a digital online experience. We'll be talking with Liz Fisher, the co-director, managing director, and Tom Griggs, co-director and director of development of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. And we'll be finishing up our show talking with Peter Van Heerden, the executive director of the Quick Center for the Arts, as well as Lori Jones, director of programming and audience development of that same wonderful cultural organization at Fairfield University. So, first of all, let me just double check here. Looks like I'm bringing in some people into the room here. We'll be joining our first interview after a couple of minutes. I wanted to first spend about 5 minutes talking about some of the internal things happening here at WPKN. And we've had a very busy couple of weeks. We're trying to be very safe with all of our protocols here. And I wanted to thank Rod Richardson, who has been tag teaming with me so that we can have lots of coverage, here where most of the programmers are doing their shows from home. But we wanted to say that we did receive a PPP package from the Small Business Association. We're very happy about that. It was an amount that covers our salaries for about 2.5 months, which is, again, very helpful. And also, we have applied for a CT Humanities grant. The CT Humanities group is actually funneling through some of the funds that were put together from the CARES Act that was signed by Congress. And there's a carve-out for Connecticut and for Connecticut nonprofits. And the CT Humanities is actually prioritizing smaller nonprofits with budgets of $500,000 or less. And what's nice is that there's a sliding scale based on what your budget is, and you can ask for an amount that can go for general operating needs, which is kind of hard to come by these days, which basically means it can be used for rents, it could be used for expenses, utilities, etc. So we have written that. They were first accepted on Friday, and we did submit that. Also, we have 250 letters that have gone out to some of you, some of our donors, and we really tried to make them very personalized appeals, and many of you have come back already with some of your enclosed envelopes and have written some nice notes to us about the importance of WPKN during these times and how much WPKN has meant for you, you know, from as long as you've been listening. But some very wonderful personal notes written about specifically how WPKN has really helped during these pandemic times. And also, many of you have gone online to WPKN.org. We have some programs still available with the Washington Post and the New York Times. We are inviting as many of you who are able to afford to become a sustaining supporter at $5 a month or $10 a month. If you can get to $15 a month or more, you can pick up a digital subscription to either of those two publications, and we will get that out to you with a link. Now, we had our All Together Now Global Dance Party number 2. That was just held on May 8th, and it was really lots of fun. And I do hope that many of you enjoyed participating and hearing some of the great music as we can showcase our multiculturalism and our, you know, multi-ethnicities that we can all put together. We've got lots of different programmers from all over the world broadcasting in many different languages here at WPKN, and we're very proud of that. A couple other things that I wanted to mention is this week we are going to gently make our way into the world of on-air fundraising. You know, we haven't done any fundraising at all since February, early February, and for the obvious reasons. But, you know, as a nonprofit arts organization, we do need to keep the lights on here and certainly keep the music, public affairs, and the news coming across the airways of WPKN, and also as we're streaming at WPKN.org. We have a lot of expenses, obviously. So we are going to be doing our Bob Dylan Birthday Bash this Thursday. It's an annual event. We've done it for year after year, and we've got some wonderful musical premiums, but once again, we have some limited edition T-shirts that have been designed by Martha Willett Lewis and also Liz Squillaci. They've worked on a couple of different designs. We're going to get those up on social media and photographs of those T-shirts as well on our website. And one of a kind. I think we're doing a limited run of 60 shirts, and those usually go through pretty quickly. So that's Thursday. And then, you know, in anticipation of Memorial Days of past, we've always had fun on the Friday going into the Memorial Day weekend, where we've done something a little bit energetic and fun as people are, had been, you know, packing up and maybe going somewhere. It's not really going to be that way. It's going to be more of a staycation, I think, this weekend. But that said, we're going to have a lot of fun on Friday, and we're going to be really mining some of the incredible trends and genres from the 1970s. Now, 1970s means a lot to many different people. But within that decade, you know, you had rock, you had pub rock, you had disco, you had one-hit wonders, you had the rise of punk, lots of different things. And so we're going to be doing two-hour shifts, and that should be an interesting opportunity for us to kind of take stock of where fundraisers are going to be on air. We're being very safe. We're going to have a programmer here in the FM studio where I'm talking right now. And since we have multiple rooms, we're actually going to have phone answers, just two phone answers in two different rooms, totally separated. They have a total personal exit out to the hallway and back to the parking lot. So there's really no interaction, except they might be able to see each other through some glass windows. So that's this week. And I hope that all of you are well. And, Connecticut is actually going to try to get open in some respects this Wednesday. Officially, some of the businesses are going to slowly start to, test the waters. And so we are going to all be as optimistic as we can. So let's see. I'm going to try to bring in our guests. And it should be quite interesting if this all works. And if it doesn't work, it's really going to be a fiasco, I'm afraid. So let's just see if this can all work out here. So I have Martha Ouellette Lewis. Are you there, Martha?
Mm-hmm. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Perfectly. Yeah.
Hey, fantastic. I can see you too.
I mean, yes. Isn't that something? I've got also some other folks that are waiting. I've got Suzanne Kachmar. She's in a little cameo photograph on my laptop here. I can see her dancing. And I also have Ayaba Ibo Mandingo. And
hey, everybody.
They're going to be coming in just a bit. Suzanne, can I just check to see if you're working all right? On audio. Let's see if I try that again.
Hi.
There it goes. We're all on telephone and also computer. Well, let's start with Martha. Martha, glad to have you on. Martha, I've been following a very interesting series of art installations that you've been doing in your neighborhood, which is West Haven, is that correct?
No, downtown New Haven.
Downtown
New Haven. I'm near East Rock.
Okay. So talk a little bit about, what was the, inspiration for doing your quarantine Cinegram series, and maybe explain what that's all about.
I'll go through the whole thing. So I've been, before lockdown, I was quite active in protesting and doing all kinds of creative things throughout the city and getting my voice out there. I feel like there's a lot that we need to get involved with and have our say about, including free and clear elections and all these other things. And I had just finished doing a major installation, very tricky, at the New Haven Museum in their rotunda. And it had taken a lot of work, and it went up, and then it was open for about 3 days before the museum had to shut down. And it was quite deflating to have that happen. And then to then be told that we had to stay in our houses and, as an artist, I don't mind being alone and working. I do that all the time. But the idea that my voice would be suppressed was kind of upsetting to me. So I developed Quarantine Cinegram really quickly, and I didn't quite think it through. But instead of writing a diary or making a calendar of what was going on, I thought I would make a message and project it out onto the street every night. And so I took over one of my kitchen windows, which faces out onto the street, and I stretched a piece of silk over it. So there's a piece of yellow silk, and I have an old overhead projector, and I print out a transparency, which I put onto the projector and then project it out each night at nightfall. And it's just like a short message that I would write that would kind of encapsulate the day.
Right.
And I started off with, "Now is a great time to start a utopian art project." And I hashtagged it Quarantine Cinegram. And when I did it, I almost didn't think about it. It kind of named itself almost immediately. And I just kind of did it. And it's very provisional. It's, I've got a Zoom stack of books in my kitchen on a small table. And the projector sits on top of that, and it blocks the fridge when I'm projecting at night, so I can get out anything that I want beforehand. It's very homemade because I didn't really think it through. I just acted. And it means that every evening I have to get it together and I put it up. And the other thing is that almost immediately people were interested in it, which was a little surprising. Usually I make things and it takes a little while for it to kind of simmer and then reach the surface. But almost immediately, the Eli Center, which is the same organization that had commissioned my installation that I had done, suggested that I use their Instagram to do a live reveal every night. Mm. The reason for using theirs rather than my own. So you can follow this on at Quarantine Cinegram.
Which I'm actually looking at right now.
I post it on my Facebook page as well. And I have, but using their live feed for their story, they have a lot more followers than I do. I'm fairly new to Instagram, mm-hmm. and it seemed like the right way to go. But so every night I go out there and I do a short video revealing the night's message. And then it stays up until about 10:30 or so. And of course it's getting lighter out. So
that's true. Yeah.
The time is getting a little bit later.
So are you changing the reveal time to compensate for that?
Yeah. And then I've gone up to 8:30 and I may have to move it up to 9.
And you leave it up all night long?
No, I don't want to annoy my neighbors either. Right. You know, so I 10:30 or 11, I shut it off.
And it fills the entire window. Is that more or less
the entire window? So it's like it has a very, and I've kept it kind of purposely low tech. The silk gives it a kind of beautiful yellow glow. And then the printouts are kind of grainy. So it's a slightly grainy message coming at you.
Right. You want to read a couple of those messages that you have, by the way?
And I'm up to day 53 at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. Day 53. So that's an awful lot. I didn't really plan on.
That's pretty cool.
A lot of it has to do with creativity, getting people to be safe and to not be afraid. So I started off, as I said, with now is a great time to start a utopian art project. And my second message was illuminate darkness with generous creative gestures and small repairs. And fear is a terrible driver and a worse tour guide.
You know, I noted that one. That was very clever. As far as talking about tours, mm-hmm. have you seen foot traffic pick up around your house in the evening?
Yes. So I know that there are people who come by, do their run.
Should we give coordinates of where, you know, what corner or?
I try not to, I live there. But yes, people do come and visit it. And also it gets spread around on social media. So it gets passed around from person to person. And there are people who wait for it every evening. And I've got a number of people who regularly tune in to when I'm, when I'm doing the live reveal, which is quite nice. Yeah. I don't think as an artist I've ever had a project that had this kind of direct contact with the public and this kind of resonance before.
Right. Now, where can people see the whole series again? What are some of the best sites? Instagram?
On Instagram, you can go to start following at Quarantine Cinegram, all one word. That's quarantine. And then cine is C-I-N-E and gram is G-R-A-M. The Eli Center of Contemporary Art, which is all one word on Instagram, has the live reveal. And then on Martha Willett Lewis's Facebook page, it will be up every night.
Cool. I'm gonna jump up to the some of the folks that are also on the call, but I wanted to, obviously the progression of your expressions day to day have probably had their own arc, when they talk about flattening the curve. So I wonder, on the downside of this curve, what are some of the more recent ones that you've done, or, one or two of them?
Yeah. So some of them directly address, I write them just before they go on. Mm-hmm. I kind of mull over what the thought for the day is going to be. So let's see. Let me give you a good recent one. Precious, I want you all with me at the picnic, festival, parade, clam bake of our dreams when this is done. So take care of you, me, and each other.
Wonderful. That sounds
good. I like that.
Good. Like that. Well, we've been talking with Martha Ouellette-Lewis, who has a really interesting art installation up and 50-plus days into this. And we'll see. I guess you're going to have some stamina, I think, to keep going, perhaps.
You know, there's always more to say. And one of the lovely things is people have been suggesting things as well, too. So sometimes I take other people's, I credit them, and I put their quote out there, too.
Thanks for sharing that with us. And I wanted to bring in Suzanne Kachmar and Iyaba Mandingo. Welcome. They have been on the program before, and they are no strangers to WPKN. You have another similar project thinking about involving students, and I mean, we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say one thing, that while we are being physically distant, we need to be socially and culturally connected, right? And that's what the arts are doing.
Yeah, right on.
And, you know, and so many people are turning toward the arts. And I just want to say this before we get it out now, is that there's so many needs out there. There's so many things. People need food on their tables. They need to pay their bills. They need to stay healthy. Well, artists are gig workers who almost all of them have lost their income, their sales, all of that. And so please, if you can afford at all to support them, please do that in any way you can. Just remember that they are keeping our sanity right now. And these projects like what Martha did, you know, and we have to find new ways to connect, because you can't come into our galleries and our museums and our studios and all of that. So windows are very, very important. And the online is the way that we're all going. City Lights has an online project that we're, an online project as well as a window project. But I know we want to talk about the COVID Chronicles with Iyaba, so I don't want to take up any more time. But Iyaba, this was your great idea that you're working with students. And is it okay if he tells us about it there, Steve?
Sure, absolutely.
Hey, everybody. Thank you guys for sharing with me. Martha, I really dig what you're doing. I think that's awesome. It has a 21st century Robinson Crusoe vibe. And I'm a historian. I think, you know, an amateur archaeologist. And you know, sometimes whole epochs are defined by things that they find. And this would be awesome to imagine an archaeologist stumbling upon this in 100 years, 200 years, and trying to put meaning to it. I love stuff like that.
Me
so
too.
I think that's awesome. It's like a cave drawings type of thing. And I love that it's grainy, and I love that it's not 21st century and all clean and digital. I love that. I love it.
It's very important to get the hand in there.
Yeah. So kudos to you. And I think the same. And I'm an artist because my art teacher looked over my shoulder in the seventh grade and told me that he thought I had my brushstroke looked like a professional, and I became an artist. So I'm always, every time for me is always kids. It's always with the kids. It's always what the kids can do and what we can do for kids. And for me, it feels like so much of what's going on right now is above their heads. Like, you know, and I'm an adult. I raised 5 kids. I have adult children now. And a lot of times you talk over their heads, you talk by their heads, you talk around their heads. You don't talk to them about things that are really important. And this now is really us messing up, us adults messing up the planet that we're going to give to them in a couple of years and not explain it. That's really kind of bad for adults to do that. So I really want them to challenge us and ask us why we did this. And so at Thomas Hooker, we came up with the Thomas Hooker Times, which is our Corona Chronicles. And we sat for the last couple of weeks, we've been coming up with questions. So they have a list of questions for doctors, a list of questions for the governor, a list of questions for the mayor or somebody from the office, a list of questions for essential workers, a list of questions for the superintendent of schools, so that they can get their own idea of what, and it's their questions that we've come up with. I've done little bit of guiding and kind of cajoling, but they've come up with all these questions themselves. And the next step now is to try to engage all these people so we can get some questions and put a physical paper together. So I want them to get, and also a 20th century paper. So I want them to get the idea of historically cataloging things for the future. So that's really the project. Right. I came to Suzanne because she's awesome, and she supported me right away, and we're running full blast with it. So
and Iyaba, what schools are you working with? Is this the Bridgeport School District?
Well, right now, Thomas Hooker through a VIP program in Lighthouse, but with Suzanne, we also do the Magnet School. All the schools. We want to get at all the schools. We really want all the kids in Bridgeport to really get behind this. And the way, you know, I'm 51 years old, and I remember we plant the I don't even remember, it's a time capsule.
Yeah, right.
In a lot of ways, this has that flavor to it. Mm-hmm. This has that sort of putting this thing down, because people are going to need to understand what the heck was going on now. You know, yeah. And I could imagine having a time capsule from the medieval times when the Black Plague was around. I would love to hear what the children went through, what the people did. And I was shocked when I looked. Yeah. I started Googling the Spanish flu and saw that people 100 years ago were wearing masks. That went along with the dress code and the times. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fascinating to show my kids that the other day and have them realize that nothing is new under the sun, and people adapt, and people cope, and people...
And importantly, people survive it.
Yes. That's
an important message from history, that we overcome.
And not only survive it, but we triumph. Again, that's why the Roaring Twenties were called the Roaring Twenties, because people were celebrating the Spanish flu. It came back in 1918, 1919. So by 1920, people were exhaling, and people needed this thing that we're here talking about, the social, the ability to kind of get back with people. And that's why it was called the Roaring Twenties, because here we are again, and I'm ready to roar.
Well, thanks
We're going to gift this to the library, the Bridgeport Public Library, because they've asked for us to journal. They've asking people to journal, and then we're going to put that into their archives. And we're also going to launch a COVID Chronicles Bridgeport page on Facebook, so people can also share. So we want to make it multi-generational, but we're starting with the kids, because we want this to be a kid's voice.
Hey, Suzanne, I wanted to just add one thing, because I'm going to have to jump off and bring in some of our next guests. But, you know, I know that you missed your big anniversary gala that you're going to try to do. And we've got some other big things that have always been planned, you know, the Pride and also the Make Music Day. And so we may have to talk about that again next month and give you some updates on
July 16th. We're doing Pride. It's multimedia. We're going to be broadcasting off of Soundview Television. We're putting together a variety show and an archive. So Pride is on. It's just going to take a different form. Yeah. So July 16th. We'll be back.
We're looking forward to participating and working with you on that, as we do every year.
All right.
It means a lot to WPK, and you do such a great job. And Iyaba, great to have you on. And thank you, Martha Ouellette Lewis.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
You guys be good, man. You guys be safe. And
I respect all the work you guys do. I love you all. Bye.
All right, one love, everybody. Peace.
Bye.
And we'll be right back with our next guests. This is WPKN 89.5 FM Community Radio. It's the GM Report to the listeners. And back we are on the GM Report to the listeners for the month of May. And I wanted to welcome to the show Liz Fisher, who's the co-director and managing director, and Tom Griggs, who's co-director and director of development of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas, just a premier event for our entire region. And like so many other events, it has gone through a reimagining process. And welcome, Tom and Liz. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you.
Good,
thank Great. You.
Well, this Very is well. Technology is working fine today. So, it's tell me a little bit about kind of your early process that you had to go through. Obviously, like just before it all hit, which was that first weekend of March, where everything changed. We did our big Music Mash record fair. And then that following Monday, everything was canceled. You know, tennis tournaments, Coachella, South by Southwest. Right, I mean, in your case, it must have been just kind of excruciatingly difficult to forecast what you had to do.
Yeah. I think for us, it began as a kind of a rolling stomach dropping moment, where in the beginning we thought, well, maybe we won't be able to do the things we had planned for May, like the neighborhood festivals, but maybe by June we'll be okay. So there was this cascading time when we weren't, like I think everybody had, of kind of being unsure of how things would work out and roll out. And then I think sort of almost simultaneously, when we knew that we weren't going to be able to do the festival we had planned, we moved immediately into, well, what can we do? Rather than that, right. Then we can't do the festival. Right. It was, we can't do the festival we had planned. It's not the 25th anniversary we wanted, but it's the 25th anniversary we've got, and we need to get going on it.
Mm-hmm. You lock up your artists going back to what time frame roughly? I mean, you know, all your big acts.
We look into the future. So we had our international artists were planned last year, and they were the first ones. We had artists from Belgium and Italy who were originally supposed to be here, and we knew that those travel plans and visas weren't being issued. So the first kind of loss to us were our international performances. And then the question was really the indoor performances. We knew we couldn't be bringing people in together. And we still, as Liz said, held out some hope that we would be able to have outdoor concerts on the green. Mm-hmm. And we really had a phenomenal program scheduled for this year.
No doubt.
And then we realized early on with guidance from the mayor's office that even looking forward, and it seemed forever, June, you know, even from March, that we weren't going to be able to do that. So yeah, it was hard to make those calls, and even our local artists to say that we wouldn't be able to have any live performances.
Right. So you've had to pivot in many different directions, and as a community radio station, you know, we want to be here to help you. We've been a partner with the festival for many years, right. And it means a lot to us. And there's such an overlap with our audience and your prospective audience. And what can we do to help? And what would you like to tell our listeners in terms of, you know, this 25-year anniversary? It's a little different, but what are some of the ways that people can participate? Because you have a lot of great content that you're delivering right now.
The festival is happening as we speak. We've had lots of different performances. We decided that if we were going to break the mold anyways, we didn't need to hold on to the dates of June 13th to the 27th. So we've been rolling out with all sorts of different performances. You can take a virtual bike ride from the New Haven Green all the way up to Cheshire just by sitting on your couch, but you feel like you're on a bike. Our National Endowment for the Arts Big Read program kicked off this past week with the author, Stephanie Burt. We've had some incredible restaurant experiences. We had over 300 people for a cocktail pairing this past Friday with Ordinary and Roya. And it felt like we were all in the same room together, enjoying each other's company. And Liz, why don't you talk about Arts on Call that we kicked off this weekend?
Sure. Arts on Call is a program we're doing with local artists where anybody in the New Haven community, and I think there's a sort of a 5-mile radius that we're working with, can book an artist to do an individual performance just for them. Or, and in, what we're seeing happen is that it's for them and their neighbors, right? They call a few friends, and people who are socially isolating come and they stay 6 or 8 feet apart. And they all enjoy a performance. And there's a lot of different performers involved in that that you can book. And I think one of the points I really want to make is that when we're working with restaurants or local artists this year, the festival is not getting any of the funding of the money for that. That is a pass-through. It goes directly to the artist and directly to the residents. Toronto with no sort of carving off for the festival. So we are giving this back to the artists and the restaurants and the bars and stuff who have worked with us for many years. We're supporting it. We're promoting it. We're doing a lot of behind the scenes work for it. And we're doing that to support our community.
Yeah, that's really important. Our previous guest, Suzanne Kaczmar from City Lights Gallery in Bridgeport, she's very involved with the local Bridgeport art community. And, you know, she just said it's the stories that she's hearing from all of her friends, musicians, artists. There's just, right. No one's getting any money right now.
Right.
I mean, it's just
right.
zero.
Right.
And.
Right.
It's tough. So I'm glad that you've kind of made it more hyper-local, I guess, in a way. And it's probably most appropriate this year. When you get into the next month, you know, with the traditional days of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas, do you have any particular, highlighted events that you're trying to promote, or is this kind of going to be a general run through until the end date?
Well, we actually had put a lot of effort into our ideas program this year. The focus is on topics around democracy, and we have some national speakers as well as regional and local speakers as well. Tomorrow night, we'll be kicking that off with Arnon Giarhiradis, who is very well known and will be talking about inequities of wealth throughout this country. He has 600,000 Twitter followers. So our hope is that our audience will be able to expand beyond just our neighbors here in Greater New Haven. You know, I've pointed out to our legislators that every resident of Connecticut, it's as easy to come to the festival this year as our next door neighbors, because it's just coming and signing online. So tomorrow at 7 o'clock is really the kickoff of our ideas program. We have Hannah Nicole Jones, who worked on the New York Times 1619 project. She just received a Pulitzer Prize last week. So our ideas program is really a big focus of the festival this year. But we still have 3 traditional performances. Those companies have moved their artistic performances online. Over this weekend, we had some dance programs, and people were able to come together and dance through this Zoom platform. We have activist songbook, and we have parts of the community actually creating songs about activism. And then the company Compagnia di Colombari, who brought The Merchant of Venice to the festival a few years ago, they were going to bring Walt Whitman's piece called More or Less I Am. And actually, they have been filming that. Their actors are around the world, and they've put together a Zoom or an online performance, and we'll be releasing that starting this coming Monday over a 4-week period. So we are still working with artists who have been able to move their artistic performances onto an online platform.
Right. And just for some of our listeners, you're using platforms such as Zoom, you mentioned that. And how about for other live streaming events? These artists are moving into performance spaces in the New Haven area or from a remote location. And then what would be the login in terms of what platforms are you using for some of these bigger attended concerts?
It depends on the event. For example, the dance workshops, they were done on Zoom because it was kind of collaborative between the person who was doing it, dancing, and the workshop providers. So, so that was on Zoom. Many of our events, the idea, for example, the ideas events coming up, they're mounted in StreamYard, which is a different platform. Mm-hmm. And then they stream to Facebook and YouTube. So you can, depending on what you personally prefer.
Right.
And also what your needs are. There's on Facebook, the streaming is live captioned. Mm-hmm. So as the person talks, the captions are up. On YouTube, they can be added later, but Facebook gives them, we're working with them and they get that immediately. Mm. So I think it depends a little bit on the event, but all events are available by clicking through on the festival's website, which is www.artidea.org. And they're on our main page. You don't have to sort of dig for them.
Right.
They come right up in front of you and you click on it and you're there.
Yeah, I have to say your website is really wonderfully put together. I mean, it's very clean and clear. And obviously, there's so many different events, too. I've been getting the feeds that you send out on a weekly basis of what's coming up, you know, week by week with links. And it's very helpful. We're talking with Liz Fisher, who's the co-director, as well as Tom Griggs, who's the co-director of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas in New Haven. And lots of activities have already been underway. When your official launch, then, when did you kick things off with your first events?
I think it was a week before this past Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've had 2 weekends of really all sorts of diverse activities. And I think we've reached hundreds of people already. We are recording all of these. Go ahead, Liz.
Thousands.
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands. The live stream is one thing, which, you know, perhaps 100 or, you know, a couple of hundred people are there for that. But afterwards, when it's just available for on-demand viewing, those numbers are skyrocketing.
Right. Yeah.
Amazing.
So all the live performances and then also the archived performances, you can all go to artidea.org and find information that way. Well, thank you so much for coming on the GM Report to the listeners here at WPKN. On one hand, it's sad that a lot of things we are sad about, but June was always a month dedicated to this festival. It was just such a wonderful experience, and it involved so many different aspects, so many different communities, you know, ethnic groups. It was a very international oriented, obviously, and but it still is. It's just in a different format, like everything else. And best of luck, and I look forward to attending virtually some of the events. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Right. Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see
Bye-bye.
You guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And let's take a break, and we're going to come back with our final guests. We're going to stay in the cultural world. We're going to move from New Haven down to the town of Fairfield with the Quick Center for the arts and get a sense of the impact on COVID-19 on their season and hear what they're doing virtually as well. We'll be right back. And back we are on the GM report to the listeners for the month of May. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, the general manager here, and I've got some good friends on the show from the Quick Center for the Arts, Peter Van Heerden, who's the executive director, and Laurie Jones, who's the director of programming and audience development. Welcome to WPKN in a virtual way, in a Zoom-like way.
Thanks, Steve.
Having a Steve.
Yeah, good to see you guys. The audience can't see you.
See
the listeners can't see you, but it's great technology to get some interactivity. We just were talking with the folks at the International Festival of Arts and Ideas who have had to do their own, you know, massive reimagining of things. And obviously at the Quick Center for the Arts, we've been a big supporter of your efforts, and we want to help you in any way possible. So just that being said, I mean, what has been some of the mindset of you guys looking at your season and then seeing kind of it all kind of come apart and then trying to figure out, well, what how do you pivot and do something that is still going to, impact your audiences. So maybe you could start with some of those thoughts.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us, Steve, and thanks for WPKN's continual support of what we do at the Quick Center. It's greatly appreciated. So thanks for that.
Well, and I hope you're welcome.
Hope you're healthy and safe and sort of semi-sane out there.
Yeah, we're all doing our best, right?
Exactly.
You guys look good. I'm looking. You guys look healthy and
Well, I just suddenly panicked with this idea of, am I actually going to be seen on the Zoom? And then I realized it's radio, so I can't be seen.
Right.
So I was like, sort of semi-cleaned myself up.
So you put your shirt on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. No, so, I mean, I think, you know, from our perspective is, and I think we, you know, we're unique in terms of we are obviously on a university campus, and universities are very risk adverse. So, you know, the university is really looking at this point at the health and safety of the students first and foremost, as they try plan scenarios for the fall to bring students back in person. And it's complicated and it's complex.
Have they made that decision yet in terms
of? They have not, Steve. So as of like, you know, I'm on some meetings, and as of this morning, they are still working on some scenarios, but they have not pulled the trigger. And those scenarios change, like, you know, every 2 days, it's something new happening or something else changing. So it's complicated at this moment in time. And, you know, obviously students are all in this holding pattern and this wait to see, like, am I going to be able to come back to campus? What does it mean? What does it look like? So I think there's lots of good work being done to try to figure that out, you know, and then lots of universities have already pivoted and they're going online. Some are saying we're bringing people back, but they don't actually know whether they can. And then, you know, in terms of the CDC and the government restrictions, can you actually implement what is then required in order to make it safe? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they're complicated factors, and the university is working very hard and diligently to make it possible, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the situation. And then pivoting to what we've done is, you know, we pivoted and sort of had the luxury of having a lot of people who are engaged and involved with us over the years. So Laurie and I reached out to them and said, well, let's do some virtual sessions. So we launched the Quick Sessions, which have been, you know, pretty cool sessions that we've had. 12 different artists, educators, and experts engaged in over like 40 sessions in April and May. And it's been awesome. And we've had over like 15,000 people view, you know, live or post. And, you know, we've had lots of different people engaged. So it's been a good exercise and a good task.
Yeah,
but, you know,
sure. Well, let's get more of our listeners engaged in going out and participating with some of those events.
Yep.
They can, you know, everything's up on your website, and I think that's I was just complimenting the International Festival's website, and in your website as well is very easy to navigate. It has a lot of great information, easy links. So, you know, if you want to just talk about maybe some of the best sites that, you know, Instagram, Facebook, you can just give the whole, you know, address book of those, you know?
Yeah. So folks can definitely through social media, they can follow us on Instagram at Fairfield Quick. That's also true at Twitter. And then on Facebook, they can also follow us. It's the full name of the organization, which is the Regina A. Quick Center for the Arts at Fairfield University. So it's a bit detailed. But if you follow us on Instagram, you're going to get everything the quickest, I will say. With the Quick Sessions, what we do have is a website we created just for that purpose, to really make it as easy as possible for folks to watch live. And so they can actually go straight to thequicklive.com. And every day we have sessions going on Monday through Friday. It also includes archives of all of the sessions we've done previously. So if you've missed
a session,
you want to be able to go back and watch, you can do that. So the archive is there. And it also includes the full schedule. And what's great is you can also watch live on Facebook. So whichever preference you have. If you're already following us, that's great. It's an easy way to just tune in. And otherwise, thequicklive.com allows you to kind of see everything in a really easy format.
Right. That sounds great. One question I have, Lori, since you do a lot of go to the booking conferences, is have you, like, how far out have you booked? Or in other words, did you have things also lined up for the fall, to the end of the end of the winter?
Yes. So we had already planned our 2021 season, and we're getting ready to hopefully launch it in May. Mm-hmm. And then everything changed. And so now we are readjusting that. So our fall season will look a little different than it has in the past, but actually still be very robust. People will be able to engage in really exciting ways. I think what we are also thinking about is what the spring can look like. And so kind of pivoting those two things and seeing how we can announce them in a way that still allows people to engage, but also gives us the ability to be a little more nimble mm-hmm. with our announcements so that we feel like we can be as up to date as possible. So we're not at a point where we're announcing yet, but we are definitely diligently working with all of the artists, all of the speakers that we typically engage with, and also thinking about how that engagement happens both on campus and then with our larger community and, you know, where those shifts may have to take place.
Sure.
But I think in general, we still plan to have a pretty robust mm-hmm. Opportunity for our audiences to engage.
From a state perspective, in terms of the governor's directives on live events, indoor events, what is the thinking at this point? I know it can move, it can evolve, but in terms of trying to have a timeline, what is the present rule of law?
I think I would say certainly at this point in time, we actually haven't received anything that's absolute. And so rather than entirely wait for that announcement, I think what we're trying to do is think outside of the box, look at the programming that we have, and really think about what are the ways that audiences can still be engaged, whether that's in person, whether that's on live, whether that's in our space, whether that's off of campus. I think we're trying to think of all of the different mm-hmm. ways and the size of groups so that it still feels.
Well, I think that we may have just frozen up here. So that will be the final word. Lori Jones from the Quick Center for the Arts, and also Peter Van Heerden, thank you for joining me. And I guess the timing is kind of perfect anyways, because it is 12:55, and that is the end of the GM report. We have a couple of announcements to get to, but I do want to thank them both for coming on the show. And I, again, want to wish nothing but great health to all of you. And this week is going to be interesting, within the state of Connecticut, because I know on Wednesday there's going to be some opening of restaurants for outdoor dining, and some other types of businesses are going to be able to open as well. So, we'll see how things develop. I know next weekend, which is Memorial Day weekend, some of the beaches, if not all the beaches, are going to be opening in Connecticut. So that's going to be nice for many people. And as long as everyone, uses common sense, I have this favorite expression that I use. I don't know where I heard it. It could have been actually, I think, from the climbing community. They used to talk about that it's hard to be smart. So I just want to throw that line out there. Everyone should take that to heart. It's hard to be smart. So, sometimes you want to do things and it's not necessarily the right thing to do. So just think about it and wear masks and wash your hands and just be careful. And we'll all get through this. Thanks for tuning in. And coming up next is a full day of some great music. For some announcements.
Would you like to be reminded when your favorite show is on? Follow WPKN Radio on Twitter and you'll always be in the know. We let you know when every program is starting. We link to interesting stuff in the archives and remind you of special events coming up. Follow WPKN Radio on Twitter.
It's an emotional experience when I have to retire my old car. After all the places we've been together, it's sad to send it to the boneyard or sell it to a stranger. That's why I donated my last car to WPKN via the link at WPKN.org. It was easy, and the money the station got was more than I could have comfortably given as a cash donation. I got a generous tax deduction, which lowered what I owed to the IRS. Those things made me feel good, turning what could have been a sad parting with my old Mazda into a cause for celebration. If it's time to let go of your old car, or even your boat, plane, or RV, you can feel good about it too. Click on the car key icon at WPKN.org and follow the simple instructions, or call 877-WPKN-CAR. It's easy, efficient, and you'll quickly receive the form you need for your tax deduction.
For individuals struggling with an addiction to alcohol, this is a particularly difficult time. Due to the COVID-19 epidemic, most face-to-face 12-step recovery meetings are not taking place. But numerous online meetings are now being scheduled and are available at any time of the day or night throughout WPKN's listening area. In Connecticut, listings of online meetings are available by going to ct-aa.org and clicking on Find a Meeting. You can also call 1-866-STEPS-12 or 1-866-